Helen, and God bless your family there. As Helen sharing this morning, I just want to say that I've also had it in my heart that next Sunday we would take some time for a testimony Sunday. And so our plan is to take some time in the service, and this is just a little bit of a heads up for you. If you have some things that God's been speaking to you or doing in your life or doing in your family, in your home, in your world, and you just want to acknowledge God and speak of the goodness of God, then next Sunday we're going to have time in the service for you all to do that, and that'll be a blessing and encouragement to us all. So that's for us to look forward to. Also, I think Linda put it in bulletin this week that next Sunday we're going to be sharing the Lord's Supper together, and so that's something also we can be preparing for as we look to the new week. I received this past week a brochure from Temple Baptist Church. They are actually having a concert this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Gord Lincoln is going to be playing his trumpet at the concert, accompanied by Rita Thiessen, and so that's on. It says here at the bottom, free. That means no charge. That means no excuse, right? So that's good. We actually churches like that, right? Church is free, right? You can come to church for free. That means there's no excuse not to come. There's some other things. Youth group. Youth group is actually free. There's no charge, no excuse, right? There's something else that's free. Prayer meeting. No charge. No excuse. Ooh, that should get quiet. Okay. So that's an invitation for you. I believe the strongest place for us to be is in prayer. These are days that we just, as we call on God together, it changes the course of the nation. So that's on also this week. Okay, we're going to pray for our kids and send them off to their classes. So let's do that. Let's all stand together as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we rejoice in the power of the Word of God, the power of the Gospel that works mightily in us. The Scripture teaches us that the Gospel is foolishness. The Gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who are lost, to those who are absolutely undone and away from God. The Gospel is foolish. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so, Father, we release by faith in your word and faith in your promises. We release the power of God that is able to bring light into darkness and health and wholeness into places where there's loss and pain and sorrow. We release the gospel, the power of gospel, the gospel into places where we need to see turnaround, where the enemy has taken ground. We release the power of the gospel, the power of the word of God and the spirit of God. And even to our children and to those that minister to them today, grace and blessing be multiplied to them and to us all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Rick, can you please take this back and put it up on the bulletin board in the entrance, just so everyone can be reminded of that before they go. Thank you. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read there momentarily. But before we do, I'd like you to declare with me, as we are accustomed to do here, the glory of God in this place. So would you repeat after me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare the glory of God in this place. We declare your glory rises upon your people. Not only in this place, but all over this land. And as the glory of God rises, we expect to see new manifestations of your presence and greater manifestations of your power and greater manifestations of your goodness, so that all the world would see and believe that there is a God and that there's life and hope in the kingdom of God. So, Father, receive this declaration as an expression of faith from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, I had some glasses, my dear. What happened? There we go. In Joshua chapter 1, we find that Joshua has just taken the reins of leadership over the nation of Israel. They've just come out of the land of Egypt, and they're on their way into the promised land. And now verse 1 reads like this. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And then he says, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you one more time? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I read this passage as a launching point this morning because of the fact that three times God's speaking prophetically through Joshua to the people of God. They're about to enter a new phase in their life. A new chapter is opening for them. After 400 years of slavery in the land of Egypt, now they come to the brink of the promised land. And God is saying prophetically through Joshua, to Joshua and through Joshua to the people, he's admonishing them to be strong. Paul used to speak, we are familiar with how Paul spoke those same words to Timothy when he would write his letters to Timothy. He'd say, Timothy, be strong. Timothy, be strong. Timothy, be strong, which implies to us that maybe there were some issues where Timothy tended to be a little bit timid sometimes. Maybe tended to draw back or to be fearful. But the charge that came to him by the Spirit of God was, be strong. And so likewise here in the book of Joshua, the charge to Joshua and to the people of Israel that they would be strong. I want to speak to you this morning on, I'm rather like Denise this morning. You've heard this before. Some of you won't remember, but some of you might, but that's okay. This is what I felt from the Lord that you needed to hear and we needed to talk about this morning. And so I want to talk to you about why the devil doesn't want you strong. There's some things that happen in our lives when we're strong that don't happen when we're not strong. I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth that used to say, if a situation arises and you're not ready, you've missed the boat. If you have to stop to get ready when a situation arises for you to step forward, you've missed it if you weren't ready. We have to live ready. Because if we have to get ready, then we most likely will miss the moment. And once the moment is gone, it's gone. And so likewise, the thought and the reality of being ready and being strong before the Lord. We're going to talk about that this morning. If you would permit me to tell another story that you have heard before. This story happened almost 3 years ago. One Sunday afternoon, we were at home having lunch at our house, and the telephone rang, and it was Brother Ray, actually, is here in the house. He was on the other end of the line, and he said to me, Ray, I need your help. We need to go to the hospital. We'd like you to come to the hospital because Ruth is really ill. And so I kind of dropped my stuff, and off I went to the hospital. Garth and Judy were there already at that time, or just arrived, whatever. And we were admitted into the intensive care unit at the hospital. And when we got there, we found that Ruth was really, really ill. You perhaps remember me saying, I don't personally believe that I've ever found anyone in that degree of anguish and just absolute, just anguish is the only word I can think of. She was really, really ill. She was just thrashing. There were four nurses at her bedside, which was that's the max. There were doctors that were attending to her. Only the one little problem: they just happened to have three people with heart attacks come in, and so they were a little bit stressed all at that particular moment. But all the resources of the hospital were gathered, so to speak, in that hospital room. And I remember standing there with Garth and Judy, and we would pray, and we would speak the word of God. We'd declare the word of God just that morning. And I believe I could say that we fulfilled the purposes of God, that we were ready to do what we did and ready to do what we had to do. Just that morning, it was a Sunday morning, just that morning, I had spoken of how the devil comes. The Bible says the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, but the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've been listening this past week to Brother Jerry Seville, and he's talking about how the devil is a word thief, right? And as soon as the word of God comes to us, as soon as we're in a place where someone ministers to us, or the Spirit of God works to impart something or sow something into our heart to bring change or to bring just a visitation of the life of God to us, the devil's modus operandi is as quickly as possible to steal that away. Some of you have heard Brother Jerry talk about how he's had occasions, of course, he preaches all over the world, and he's had all kinds of things happen. He said one time he was preaching, and the people were tracking with him fairly well. He thought the people were tracking fairly well, and all of a sudden everybody's gone. Like, just nobody home, right? Just nobody home. And there's nobody there. And he's kind of looks at them, and they're not looking at him anymore. They're looking back here, and there's a mouse running back and forth across the platform. Right, and he says the devil will even use a mouse. The devil is a master of distraction, and the intent is to steal away the word, to divert us, to capture our attention so that we don't hear the word that we need to hear, that will affect our lives, that will change our lives, that will change our circumstances. And so we understand and we know and we believe and we teach here that the devil is a word thief. And we'd been talking about that on this occasion a couple years ago, just the morning that we received the call from Ruth. Some of you remember the rest of the story, how Ruth was in the hospital for about 4 or 5 days at that time. The hospital here locally did all the tests on her that they could do. Finally, they were going to send her either to the PAR or to Dauphin for more tests, which eventually they did. But on Wednesday night, she came back to the hospital here locally, and she was just as bad as before. And then while we were having prayer meeting, Brother Ray called me from the hospital saying, please, can you come? And so one more time, back to the hospital we went, and he on one side of the bed and I on the other. And we began to speak the word of God, and we began to resist the devil. We began to declare the power of God that would bring turnaround to Ruth's life. And Ray would, if you catch him at the end of the day, if you can catch him and get him to listen to you long enough, he'll begin to talk to you about that day. And how God before our eyes just brought rest and relaxation, just resolution in that situation to Ruth. And how the next day the doctor came, sat on her bed and was feeding her and talking with her, and everything was just well on its way to being fine. Now, I say all that not, you understand, I'm not bragging or boasting, I'm just telling you all. I'm just telling you that if we have to stop and get ready, or on the other hand, if we are actually weak, if we are not built up in our spirit, if our switches aren't on, if we don't have the Word of God in our hearts or in our mouths, when moments like that come, we will either miss the moment or we will find ourselves entirely ineffectual. But the scriptures, then beginning here in Joshua and other places, similarly, we'll go through a few of them this morning, admonish us to be strong, that we should have such a resolution, that we should make such a decision in our heart that when moments like that come along, that we will be prepared to face the situations that happen to come into our lives. In Luke chapter 1, verse 80, not sure if we have that on, Mandy. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. That's quicker than I can do it, Mandy. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit. Some translations say he continued to become strong. And he lived in the deserts. He was not so much strong physically, but the emphasis is here is on what was happening in his spirit. And he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And then in chapter 2, verse 40, this speaks of the Lord Jesus. Scripture says in verse 40, and his parents, and the child continued to grow and to become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Again, speaking of Jesus, he continued to go strong. That doesn't mean he was going to the gym and he could bench press, 800 pounds. Doesn't mean that. It means that in his spirit, he was coming to the place where he was believing what the Word said about himself. It was believing the purposes of God. It was believing for favor from God by the power of the Holy Spirit to be and to do what God had called him to do. And so he was strong in his spirit, which was preparing him for his entrance into public ministry. And so by way of introduction, why the devil doesn't want you strong, or what doesn't want me strong, we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, we read this scripture. And by smooth words, the Antichrist, the day is coming that the Antichrist will come, and he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant, but the people who know their God will display strength or become strong. They'll show themselves to be strong and do exploits or take action, this translation says. Now, I don't know how much you all watch the news or how much you all keep in touch with what's happening in the world, but you need to understand that there's some unimaginably dark and evil things happening in our world today. Nations are being swung into darkness and into the most ungodly lifestyle stuff. The darkness that is flooding the world. I guess it happens that probably every generation comes along thinks that their generation is the darkest. Well, that all could be. But what I want to say is that in the darkness of this present age, I believe this has to do with us this morning. That up there, by smooth words, the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to increasingly work to turn to godlessness the ungodly. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. In Acts chapter 16, we have a story that's familiar to us. It's a story of Paul and Silas as they're about to as they're ministering the gospel in Philippi. And the scripture says that as they're ministering there, they're making a beachhead for the gospel. They find themselves at a prayer meeting, And they have a congregation open their hearts to them. But in the middle of that, verse 16 of chapter 16, it happened that as Paul and Silas were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl with having a spirit of divination met them, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And as she continued doing this for many, and she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed, and turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. Now, you need to understand that from time to time it happens that God will put us, God puts me, and God will put you in places where you will feel really very incompetent. You will feel like you're in over your head. You will feel like, man, this is too big for you. But if you are have up to that moment kept strong in spirit, if you have fed and nourished your inner man with the Word of God and with the presence of God and with the promises of God, you will have access to the competency of the Holy Spirit in that moment. Paul, you understand, didn't have to say, "Just a minute, you demon-possessed sweetheart. Let me go and fast for a couple of weeks, and let me take a vacation a bit, and I'll maybe come back in a month or two, and maybe then I'll be strong enough to address you." It wasn't like that for Paul. He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ!" Right? I believe, beloved, it's an admonition for us and a challenge for us to so know God and to so walk with God that when situations come, even when they come to us unexpectedly, that we're ready to move and ready to stand and ready to do the things that God wants us to do. Did you know, our brother Bill Johnson says, do you know that it's not okay? It's not okay for us as believers to live in situations where we are not believing God for the impossible. God's intent is for all of us to be believing God at any moment for impossible things to happen. I am right now believing God for things that would look to man to be impossible. I'm believing God for them. And sometimes the enemy mocks and ridicules and scoffs and shouts in my ears, right, that it's impossible, but I am believing God for those things. Do you know that when you believe God for the impossible, something happens to your spiritual DNA? Something happens on the inside of you when you begin to stand and to believe God for something that looks absolutely impossible. Something happens to your inner man. There's an infusion of divine grace and the power and the presence of God that happens to you in such moments. And when that happens, then you'll be able to withstand the pressure that the enemy brings against you. In chapter 15, verse 22, Paul is giving testimony to what's happening, Peter and the church that are going through a leadership decision that's not right. I have a wrong scripture. Just give me a second here. Chapter 14, verse 22 is where we're going. How about verse 21? After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Now that scripture implies that life won't always be easy. Life won't always be a piece of cake, even for those who are strong believers in the grace of God and the Lord Jesus. It won't always be easy. But the scripture says that the admonition is that through many tribulations we do enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The second thing I want to say, not only if we're strong, do we do exploits? Will we be positioned in a place where we can do exploits? But in Ezra chapter 9, verse 12, can we get that up, Mandy? Here we go. "So now, do not give your daughters to the sons of the ungodly, nor take the daughters of the ungodly for your sons, and never seek their peace or their prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it as an inheritance to your sons forever. And one of the stories I heard this last week was Brother Savelle was talking about how he was had spoken at a meeting one evening, and he was on his way. He was some of his one of the brothers was on, they were on their way back to the hotel, and a woman caught up to him and said, "Can you answer a question? May I have a moment?" And then she began to say this: "How is it that a couple nights ago I heard Kenneth Copeland talk about how they in their ministry had come into some financial pressure. They come into some hard times financially, and they had to resist the devil, and they had to hold on to the word of God and fight hard to regain their place and to keep the ministry and keep on continuing, what God had to do, called them to do." And then she said, "And then last night, Oral Roberts was talking about how during the course of his ministry, he said he suffered a little while ago, he suffered a heart attack, and how he had to fight the devil. He had to resist the devil, and he had to stand on the promises of God, stand on the word, and stand and resist the devil." And he said, "Now, tonight you were preaching, and you were talking about how some stuff happened in your life, and how you resisted the devil, and you had to stand on the word of God." She said, "How is it that the devil's always after you boys? He's never after me." Now, how would you answer that question? Well, he was inclined to be rather forthright, and he said, "Well, it would seem that you're no threat to him. If you're no threat to him, then he'll leave you alone. But if you know what it is to have fight a spiritual battle, it's because in some respect that you are a threat to the devil. And the stronger the word of God is in you, and the stronger that the Spirit of God is upon you, the more of a threat you are to the devil. If the word of God is not strong in you, if you are not strong in spirit, if you are not strong by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are no threat. People are no threat, and the world is filled with Christians really who are no threat to the devil. But the Scripture admonishes us, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Word of God. Rise up, be strong." And here in Ezra chapter 9, can we get it again, Mandy? The Scripture says, if you are strong, you will eat the good things of the land. You will begin to experience the presence of God and the power of God, and you'll begin to experience God using you, opening doors for you, giving you opportunity to minister life change, life transformation to the people that He brings into your life and into the world. Here Ezra's promising the people of Israel, and God speaking prophetically to them and through them, that they would eat the good things of the land, that the treasures of the promised land would become operative in their lives. Now, I believe that gives us the opportunity, or that puts us in a place where our families get affected, our community, the faith community gets affected. If I am strong, that affects you. If you're strong, it affects me. Right? It does something for us when we stand before one another, when we fellowship together in the things of God. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, "Therefore I will allot him," speaking of Jesus, "I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty from the strong." Now, booty is a biblical term that really refers to the spoils of war. And what God is speaking prophetically through Isaiah is that to those of us who are strong, we come to enter into, we begin to experience, we begin to walk in blessing, we begin to walk in stuff that we've taken back from the devil, a blessing that he has stolen from us, begins to be restored to our lives. If we are strong, if we have a spirit of authority and of the power of God working, operating in our lives. I was reading this week, again, as I was preparing, I happened across a story of Kenneth Hagin, who is familiar to most of us. He's now passed into glory, but before, in his earlier years, he was actually talking about when he was, a time when he was at the age of 17 years. And he had just recently been restored to health. He'd had serious health issues, heart issues, and other problems related from his childhood. And here he was now, he was back on his feet, he's 17 years old, and he found himself, he was He was employed with a number of workmen in the hot summer sun, and their job was to pick cherries from cherry trees. But the guys that he was working with, many of them were strong, husky guys, and they prided themselves on their strength, on their fortitude, on their resilience. And they had something of a contest going to see who was going to be, who could handle the heat of the summer sun and the rigors of the job. And so they would boast, and they would kind of put on their bravado, and they would go out to the field. But he, as he tells the story, he tells of how, man, he just looked at these guys and he thought, whoa, what am I doing here? Talk about a David and a Goliath. He felt like the David. He felt like he was walking with all these Goliaths and whoa. But he said he didn't know a whole lot, but he knew a handful of scripture. And one of the scriptures that lodged in him, that he began to declare, he talked about that I can do all things from Philippians chapter 4. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so every day, every moment, he felt he was just, he was in a league way beyond where he should have been. And all these big, tough hombres, right? And here you said he was just a scrawny kid and he's trying to stay on his feet. But in the midst of that situation, he said, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ whose strength is fused to my strength. And he said, what happened? He said, the heat was just, it was just cookers. It was just scorchers. And he says, he'd look around and one by one, all these hombres would fall off. They're done. They can't, they're cooked. They're toast. They can't do the job. And they have to go rest and find shelter. And finally, he said, it was just him and this other dude. He said, this great, just the worst of the worst, this guy that was the king of the castle, right? And they're picking cherries, and the contest is going to be who can outlast the other. And he said, for himself, he was just whipped. It was past him. But he said, he just kept saying, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And by the end of the day, you know who it was who was still standing and picking cherries. Not because he was so strong, not because he's so smart, or nothing, just because the strength of God was imparted to him and was began to operate in his life, the blessing of God fell on him in that way. Number three, in Acts chapter 9, here we have the story of Paul just meeting Jesus, coming into the kingdom of God, finding faith in Jesus' name, and we know the story of how. Earlier, his name was Saul, how he meets the Lord on the way to Damascus, on the way to persecute the church and Christians. But as he comes to know the Lord, he gets saved, and his life is absolutely transformed. And he begins to stand and to begin to minister. Now, his history to that moment was that he was well trained in Bible doctrine, in the ways of God and the Word of God. All he needed to know was to know Jesus. And so he, now that he knows Jesus, all of a sudden a whole bunch of stuff comes together in his heart and in his mind. All of a sudden stuff begins to make sense. All of a sudden the lights start going on in his life. It becomes radically changed. And in the middle of that, the Bible says in verse 19, now for several days, Paul was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. Verse 21, and all those who hearing him continued to be amazed, and were saying, Is not this he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? Verse 22, but Paul kept increasing in strength, and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus was the Christ. If you're strong, the devil knows that if you're strong, that you will have such a grace on your life and such an anointing of the Holy Spirit that you'll begin to confound those who would dispute what you say and what you have to, the way that you live. Now, the truth is that the devil doesn't want us strong. Because when we are strong in our spirit, then we begin to bear fruit in other ways that otherwise we could not have done, and we would simply have not done. I have a note in my Bible from Acts chapter 8 where Jesus says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth." Every time I come across that scripture, it just stirs me up, because I believe it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Holy Spirit working in us, that we come to have something to say. We can say, and it doesn't have to be elaborate, or it doesn't have to be exhaustive, but the Holy Spirit will give us things to say that will have impact on the lives of other people. Number four, in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul again is challenging the church of Rome. Chapter 15, verse 1, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. The devil doesn't want you strong, because if he knows that you're strong, that you are going to latch on to other people, that you're going to extend your hand, that you're going to be able to be a minister of life and of blessing to other people in other places. The kingdom of God is not just about you and just about me. It's about who we can help, who we can minister to." The Amplified Bible says, "We who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith ought to bear with the failings and frailties and tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help to carry the doubts and qualms of others and not to please ourselves." That's a large part of what the church is about. That's part of the ministry of the body of Christ. The Message Bible says it like this: "Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help?" That's a large part of the purpose of God for the body of Christ. The last point I want to make just in this portion is this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes, again he speaks of our mandate and our calling to walk in the strength of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 14. I have to look this one up. It goes like this: "The Lord stood with me and strengthen me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth." Now, Paul here is giving his last address before and writing his last letter before he gives his life for the gospel. And he said, when everyone abandoned me, when I was left all alone, when my life was in the balance and I had no one left to support me, Scripture says, "The Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that the purposes of God would be established through my life." The devil doesn't want you strong, because if he knows that if you're strong, you will fulfill the purpose of God. You will fulfill the mandate of God for your life and the destiny to which you were called. We are about out of time, so let me just conclude by saying this. How do you become strong? We'll go through this real quick. Number one, Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles." I suspect it's true of all of us that in our times with the Lord, in our prayer closets, we all have scriptures that are particularly potent in our own lives. This is one of the scriptures that I pray. I can't say that I pray it quite every day, but many, many times this scripture comes to my mind. And I pray this scripture like this. Years ago came to understand those that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength or renew their strength. Years ago I discovered that phrase could be translated like this: those that wait upon the Lord will exchange their strength. And so often in my time with the Lord, I say, "In the name of Jesus, I exchange my weakness, Father, for your strength. I exchange my mind for your mind. I exchange my own purposes for my life for your purposes. I exchange that which is born of the flesh for that which is born of the Spirit. I exchange that which is earthly for that which is heavenly. I exchange that which is carnal for that which is holy. I exchange that which is weak for that which is strong." I just pray. I make an exchange absolutely of everything I can get my hands on. I want to tell you, at the end of that day, Something's happened in me. I've clothed myself with the strength that absolutely I didn't have 10 minutes before. I declare that I exchange what I have for what God has. I exchange what I would walk in the natural for what that would. I exchange that which is earthly for that which is heavenly, that which is fleshly for that which is divine. I just go down the list. Number one. Number two, how do you become strong? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I want to say to you, becoming strong is a choice. Something you have to choose to do. You just don't fall into it. It just doesn't happen by accident. Happens because of lifestyle choice. Happens because of what you decide to say. How do you decide to live out your life every day? Whether you decide to make Jesus Lord, whether you live under the authority of the Word of God or not. It's a choice. And there are scriptures, many scriptures that have to do with that. Number three, in Joel chapter 3, let the weak say, I am strong. How do you become strong? Not by saying you're weak. You know, it took me a lot of years. It took me a lot of years to really get a hold of that. And I'm sure I'm still getting a hold of it. But Joel, the prophet, says, let the weak say, I am strong. And I want to tell you, I just want to tell you all, that something happens to your inner man. Something happens on the inside when you begin to say, I'm strong. In Jesus' name, I'm strong. I have the grace of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Something happens in you. Something, there's a resolution, there's a blessing that comes to you. Number four, let me just go back just a little bit. That means that we practice, we have to practice speaking to the mountain. Often we speak about the mountain, how big the mountain is, how impossible it is. But something happens when we speak to the mountain instead of just speaking about it. I read a story this last week of a woman in Singapore who had a friend that she became a guarantor for on a financial transaction. But somehow the wheels came off the bus. And one day she got a call from a finance company that she now owed them $31.2 million. That'll kind of jerk your chain, right? $31.2 million. That was just so impossible. That was absolutely as impossible could ever be. Totally, totally, totally off the charts impossible. And she faced the temptation, like, what am I going to do now? What now? What now, my love? Right? What am I going to do with this? I mean, this is off the charts. $31.2 million Canadian. I think it was 38 Singapore dollars. 38 million, that is. Finally, she decided, well, she only had one recourse, and that's to go to God. Right? To begin to say, let the weak say, I am strong. Let those who are absolutely in the pit, in the bottom of the pit, and even below the bottom of the pit, to say, I am strong in Jesus' name. God is my provider. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. The thing was just hopelessly impossible. She decided that maybe she'd go talk to them. Whether she wrote them a letter, I can't remember. She talked to them, wrote to them, and said, listen, guys, this thing is off the charts. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. I can't do it. And furthermore, God is going to help me. God's going to help me out of this thing. Sometime later, she got a letter from them, some notification. They said, we just met together as directors of this finance company, and we want you to know that you are forgiven the debt. It's done. It's paid. Let the weak say, I'm not because we're so smart or we're so strong, because the Lord is our helper. Number four, stand on the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has strong reward. Don't throw away your confidence. When pressure comes, when problems come, when the devil attacks us in our situation, then the answer for us is not to run away from the Word, but to run the Word to the Word of God and to stand. Number five, understand the law of association. The Bible says that he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. all kinds of scriptures that admonish us. If we want to become strong, the way we become strong is to walk with men that are strong. Number six, remind yourself daily of your position in Christ. This last week, I found myself, it happens to me from time to time that I awaken early in the morning. Now, some of you are early birds, and that's awesome. But when I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm totally wide awake for 2 hours, that kind of takes some little bit of bite out of my day somehow. But this last week, here it is, 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why, but I'm absolutely awake, and I'm lying on my bed. And so I begin to pray. That always works good. I pray, and I talk to God, and I talked about this. And I was talking about to the Lord. I was talking to the Lord this week about some stuff in my life, in my world, that's just impossible. I got some impossible stuff in my life. I said, God, would you help me with this? Would you help me? And so I'm praying, and we're just talking, and I'm trying not to disturb the powers that be, right, in my life. You don't want to disturb, you know, anybody. And finally I went to sleep. And when I woke, I have a devotional book on my nightstand and my Bible. And so I opened my devotional book, and I'm reading through the passage for the day. I could hardly believe it. Here, this is what I read in my passage just after I prayed this prayer. I read this: What the devil wants to do is to get you to focus on your condition instead of your position. The devil wants you to focus on your condition instead of your position. And so that was just one line. The thrust of the article was this: focus on, go back to, establish every day, stand on, strengthen yourself in your position, on who you are in Christ, on the blessing that's come to you, on what God's already accomplished for you. Focus not on your situation, not on your condition, but on your position. That really absolutely helped me that day. Absolutely helped me. And I would say to you, how do you get strong? Focus on your position, not on your condition. There's a difference. And that'll change your life. The last thing I want to say is this. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Can we get that up, Mandy? Is that doable? Look at that. Here we go. Keep on the alert, Jesus said, at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to say this. The devil doesn't want you strong because he knows that if you're strong, that you're going to be prepared for the day that is yet to come. You'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. This is something that in the church, Cam, we'll be talking. We need to talk about. We need to remind ourselves. The devil doesn't want you strong, because if you're strong, the Bible says you will have strength to escape all the things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And so if the devil doesn't want us strong, that's our cue. That's our cue. That's our call. That's our mandate to stand up, to clothe ourselves with the Word of God, the grace of God, to strengthen ourselves with the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Some of you have been watching the news. You have some idea of what's happening in our world. How many of you watched the news, what's happened in the land of Ireland in the last week? A few of you. You really don't want to know about you. But they have made an immense and a sorrowful turn to the left. They just had a referendum that's grievous. We see things happening that nations turning in ungodly directions. Nations. And so the question comes to us, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? What should we do? What should this man do? Well, I want to tell you what we should do, that we should rise up. Scripture says, arise, arise. Come up to a new place. Clothe yourself with new grace. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Come, step by the grace of God into new vistas of authority and responsibility. Authority in the kingdom of God. which is why I, from this place, I exhort you guys all the time. I admonish you, I exhort you, I urge you, I plead with you, that we would be of one mind and one heart and one spirit, that we would declare, blessed is this nation of Canada, whose God is the Lord. I believe it's imperative we do it. But it comes out of a relationship of strength, a position of strength that happens when the Word of God lodges in us. We begin to be moved into the purposes of God. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we hear your word. Father, these exhortations are exhortations that we've heard before. They're ground that we've covered before. They're realities that we've dealt with before. And Father, this morning I declare a fresh baptism of the grace of God over this congregation. A fresh baptism of resolve that in the face of what the enemy might be doing in other places of the world, in all kinds of places, that we would have a fresh resolution, that we would make a fresh resolution to ourselves to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so for when Paul would write to the book of in the book of Ephesians, and he would admonish the church at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and in the power of might, in the power of his might, and to clothe themselves with the whole armor of God, that they would be able to stand, that they would be able to resist, that they would resist, that they would resist in the evil day. Father, we just would hear that admonition this morning. We would receive, Father, by the grace of God, a fresh impetus and a fresh stirring of the Holy Spirit within us, that we would begin to stand, begin to believe, begin to declare, begin to fellowship and to commune together and stand together in all the purposes of God. That we in the evil day would be able to stand and even to do exploits, so that it would be said of us, blessed is that nation. Blessed is that nation. Blessed is that people. Blessed is that congregation. And blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. So, Father, we declare that blessing over this house and over this, your people. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.